This is a disclaimer. This is me from the future. That was me coming in from the future. I had sound effects on my old PC that got all messed up. Man, I don't want to re-download them. I'll have to figure out what to do there. So I just want to let you know that sound quality, the quality of my microphone is going to be awful, like god-awful for a while. Okay, I say for a while. It's like 3 minutes, but, you know, time inflation, okay? 3-4 minutes. Nowadays, that feels like an hour, you know, with all this garbage like TikTok and Instagram Reels. So, just fair warning, because I don't want you guys to think it's going to happen the whole episode. That's all. Davey from the future out.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the shed. Oh, my God, that's loud. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't know that. this is a strong start. That looks louder than usual, but I know why. It's because I'm currently inside of a sound studio. I'm not actually in my standard setup right now. I'm inside of a studio because I'm at school, and there's a sound studio in the Kicking It room. As you may know, I do Kicking It, the school news, and it's just so good. It's probably the best school news organization in the country, especially this year. But I had to come early for my brother's signing day. So I did. I don't have a first period. I have late arrival. So I don't know I don't have much to do. So before I left to go to my brother's signing day, I thought, hey, I got an idea. Your cloud storage has expired. You've got to be kidding me. You will lose access to Jesus. It's all falling apart already. I thought, hey, what if I bring my recording equipment? I've been trying to curse less. It takes their power away, and I don't want to do that. I thought, hey, why don't I just take my recording equipment to the school? Because, I mean, I get it. It'd be perfect. I can make a shit episode here because I didn't last night because I was being an idiot. I'm not going to lie. I was being really stupid. Last night, I wasn't just talking. I don't know why I just cut myself off. So I thought, hey, why don't I just bring it here and record episodes? That's what I'm doing right now. Last night, I wasn't just talking to people who sent me their albums and, like, talking to them about it. I was also fucking, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, I was cleaning out my closet trying to make a studio. Problem is, my closet, like, a studio I can use that's kind of, you know, hard to hear me, so I can record really late and not, like, annoy anyone in my family. Problem is, my closet is not a walk-in closet. I'm talking about a normal closet. So that, is not, that's going to be, and also it's not just any normal closet. It has lots of things in it. So that's, not going to work out. But as you may have seen yesterday, I posted on the shed snap story. God, that really does get loud. That really peaks. That peaks a lot, actually. What is there anything I can do about that? hold on. Let's see if that helps. Oh, that looks really quiet. Oh, fuck. I mean, frick. Hello? Okay, that looks louder. I don't know, guys. Tell me how it sounds. Tell me how it sounds after the episode. But I decided to ask people what their five favorite albums of all time were. Because I was listening to my favorite albums a lot. And I have been. So I got back to my answers. I'd like to go over. First up was Jacob Braun. Shout out to Jake Braun. I don't know if his real name's Jacob. I just made that up. Shout out to Jake Braun. he gave me his top five albums. These are actually in order. Some of them are going to be in order. Ugh, that's so loud. It's bugging me. Hold on. I'm going to see how that sounds.
Why does my mic sound so bad? What is happening? What is happening? What the hell? Also, I lost like 10 minutes of recording time because I tried to play it back and it wasn't playing my headphones. I did a bunch of shit and went back and still wasn't playing my headphones. And I got mad and then hit the laptop. And when I hit the laptop, the fucking screen went black and it said, "You're almost there, 5%. It started like updating. It's just the worst setup in history. But hold on, I'm going to listen to this and see if this sounds good. Okay, it's fixed. Wow, this is a joke. Wait, that just peaked a lot. Hold on, let me see if that sounds okay. Okay, I don't know what the hell that was all about. This is your shitty start, dude. Start as well, quote unquote start. I'm 4 minutes in. This is what I've been facing. Oh, Jesus. This is going to suck. But anyway, as I was saying, also, since I have class in like 20 minutes, I'm just going to get cut off at some point, just mid-thought. But as I was saying, Jake, bro, what is on my screen? What just popped up on my screen? A bunch of coding just popped up on my screen. Like I'm breaching the mainframe. What the fuck? Okay, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. this is so scuffed. Dude, I need my a new laptop. This isn't even mine. This was my sister's. It's ancient. There's a bunch of X's on the stuff on my desktop because I don't have enough storage. And there's only like eight things. There's what? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, no, there's eight things there. Well, there's what is that's nine. Yeah, it's nine. There's nine things there, and like. Three of them are fucking the recycling bin, Google, and Microsoft Edge. One of them's fucking Snapchat. Yes, I got Snapchat on my laptop because it was tweaking on my phone. This is all just bottom of the barrel content right here. But here we go. Back to the albums. Back to my cool album segment that I had planned. Jake Braun, his top five albums. Number five, In Through the Outdoor by Led Zeppelin. Great choice. Fool in the Rain rules. Everyone, go listen to Fool in the Rain. If you know what? I may bring back the Songs of the Shed playlist because Fool in the Rain absolutely rules. We'll see. We'll see. But I'll put down Fool in the Rain. Let me search up Fool in the Rain on Apple Music. Add to playlist. Do I still have Songs of the Shed? Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, Songs of the Shed is coming back. So good job, Jake. Fool of the Rain. No, not of the rain. Jesus, this is all going to shit. Fool in the Rain, absolute banger. To be honest, that's really the only song I know from that album, but I like that. I respect that pick because all of Led Zeppelin's other work is just so much more famous and mainstream and shit. I appreciate a pick like In Through the Outdoor, not like Led Zeppelin 4 or like Led Zeppelin 2 and all those like, critically acclaimed, hyper, like huge, massive, hyper. I was gonna say hyper and then like an adjective because that's how the prefix hyper works. That just didn't. So I can't even speak today either. That's how those big albums work. What the fuck did I just say? This sucks. But yeah, number five, In Through the Outdoor. Great choice. Number four, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. This right here, this is a great choice. I listened to this album freshman year, and I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I didn't like it. But now that I know for a fact if I re-listen to it, I'll really like it. That's how it goes for a lot of albums, a lot of my favorite albums of all time. And Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust, that's got Moon Age Daydream, that's got Starman. Those are two fucking bangers, man. I mean, freaking ba I mean, fudging bangers, man. Sorry, I gotta be more unique again. I gotta be more unique with my vocab. Because it's not just the fact that these powerful words don't have their power anymore, even though words don't have power. Yeah, I said it. It's not like you guys will be desensitized to them. It's that I need my vocab needs to be more, varied. Oh, yeah, this episode's brought to you, not brought to you. Jesus. This episode's dedicated to the UAHS hockey team. Good shit, guys. Good job getting that W against the other team. And this episode is also dedicated to my none other than a teacher of mine. My IB math teacher, Mr. James. I'm just kidding. It's Mr. Davis. My IB business teacher is dedicated to him, too. So, anyway, as I was saying, I bet that got him. Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust from Mars, great pick for number four. Number three, Lightning Bolt by Pearl Jam. I don't know about this one, man. I don't know about this one, man. I don't know much about Pearl Jam, but what I do know is that they're grunge. And Lightning Bolt was from 2013. A Pearl Jam album from 2013. Eddie Vedder's probably like 40 in on this shit, man. Holy God. But hey. It's got a really cool animated album cover on Apple Music. I highly suggest all of you check that out. And I'm gonna check its Wikipedia chart. Because if you go on Wikipedia and you go on an album, it'll have like a chart of its like star ratings from all these different like publications like Rolling Stone, like Acclaimed Music, and all this other stuff. This did pretty good. Wow, this did really. I'm not gonna say really good because there's some albums that did better. But this is like a B+ all around. It looks like. So I guess it's a good pick then. Again, I'm not a big Pearl Jam guy. I will become one though because I think they sound really cool. I do think they sound really cool. I'm a huge Neil Young fan too. I know Neil Young's done work with them on that album Mirror Ball from 1995. So I'll listen to Pearl Jam. I don't know what Pearl Jam that phrase. I don't know what that means though. It sounds like cum. I'm just saying. Okay, I read that somewhere and I was like, you know, that's actually a really good. It might actually mean that. I think the band is named after semen. I don't think that's a good pick anymore. Sorry, Jake. But I'm just busting your chops, Jake. I think it's a good pick, but because I think it's interesting. It's an album. It's a Pearl Jam album from 2013. But I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh yeah, I don't know if you can tell. My throat's messed up today too. Again, I'm recording at school. My mic was shit for a long time, for like a few minutes, which is a long time in today's world. And like time inflation with how patience has changed over time, but no, I'm gonna get through this episode. Yeah, good pick, Jake, for number three. Number two, Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin. Dude, what do I even have to say? This is a great pick. This is another album that when I listened to it when I was a freshman, I didn't not like it. I was just bored. But I know if I listen to it now, I will like it. I mean, we got some bangers here. I know In My Time of Dying, Houses of the Holy, and Brunnerar. I don't know how the fuck to say that, but those are all beloved. Not much to say about Kashmir, just because it's so critically acclaimed as a song. Kashmir's absolutely good. Kashmir's absolutely good. Down by the Seaside, that's a song Matthew Singer, who we'll get to later, very soon. Down by the Seaside is also awesome. But again, I want everyone listening to know this. When you rank an album, or when you like critically analyze an album, or if you determine if you like an album or not, you shouldn't just think of like, oh, this album has two songs I like, therefore I like it. No, you got to look at it as a body of work. You got to look at it as like, you don't look at songs. You don't say like, oh, I like this song because I like this verse and this verse. No. You got to look at an album as a body of work. Or else it sounds like you're, one, just looking into the hits, and two, just disregarding some of the tracks that create the album's sound. I don't think you should do that ever. But good, great pick for Physical Graffiti. That album is so good. It made me talk about why that Physical Graffiti just made me go on a rant about how you should look at albums. So, yes, amazing pick, Jake. And now number one. Number one, honestly, is a better pick than Physical Graffiti. Number one is none other than Grace by Jeff Buckley. Jeff Buckley's passing is an absolute tragedy. Jeff Buckley could have been a top five artist of all time. I'm not kidding. That's not an exaggeration. Just listen to him, guys. Just listen to Jeff Buckley, guys. It's crazy how talented he was. He passed away in I'm talking as if I fucking knew him. He's passed away in 1997. And
Oh, what up, baby?
What's up, man? Hey. I am, actually, yeah.
Hell yeah.
What's up, guys?
Oh, you're podcasting here?
Yeah, I am. Nice. Because, you know, class doesn't start, and I got here early and shit, so. Because I got here for signing day for Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, that was my kicking it friends, you know, kicking it co-reporters Charlie and Burke. Shout out to them. But as I was saying, yeah, Grace by Jeff Buckley, it's amazing. It is amazing, okay? As in the one song I know is amazing. But no, it's not just that Grace is amazing, it's that Buckley is. Because like you can go to Grace and listen to Lover You Should Have Come Over, which is like the biggest song from that album. You can tell this guy is like, his talent is like ungodly. Like this guy, or godly. I don't know which word to use there. I'll use the word godly. Because his voice is like fucking angelic. His voice is crazy. Same with the way he writes and plays, like his influences are like Sufi, if you take AP World, you know what that is. Like Sufi Muslim music, it's wild. he has this melting pot of all these different influences and cultures, and he sounds incredible. So I think you guys should check out Jeff Buckley. That's a whoa. Sorry, I'm just very confused. Like Jeff, but a single with Jeff Buckley in it came out. I think it's maybe he was sampled because the genre is dance. But yeah, number one, Grace by Jeff Buckley, legendary pick. Next up, after Jake Braun, Matt Singer. Now Matt Singer, he gave me his top five, this might be his top five. These albums might not be in order, and I'm gonna start by saying his number five pick is shit, okay? Let It Be by the Beatles. Guys, Let It Be is not a good album. Let It Be is a great song. Let It Be is an awful album, to be honest with you. Especially the original mix. Let It Be is really, really bad. Let It Be is like, man, I listened to it and I was like, this really isn't that good. And there's a Beatles album in my top five, which I'll get to later. And I listened to fucking Let It Be and I was like, man, this really isn't very good, dude. Why is Let It Be not good? Because these guys hated each other. Like, without this, the whole sessions for this fucking album existed. They were created. They were scheduled to get these guys back together. Like, this was almost like a Beatles revival. It's like the Beatles were already dead, but privately. Like, this is not a good album. Across the Universe is terrible. The Long and Winding Road is overrated. Let It Be is an amazing song. Yeah, Get Back is nice. And the 2021 remix of this album, because the mix is shit. This album sounds terrible. Like, sonically, this album sounds awful. The 2021 mix is really great. I will say that. It definitely makes the album, like, significantly better. It takes this album from, like, a 1 out of 5 to a 3 out of 5. Like, it goes from being just garbage to being like, okay, like it's nice. Like, it's nice at times, you know. But still, it's not the best Beatles album by any means. That's what's more shocking here, is that he has Let It Be at number 5, and Let It Be is his only Beatles album here. Meaning that this guy, Matthew, thinks that Let It Be is like, that's his favorite Beatles album. That's insane. Over Sgt. Pepper, over Abbey Road, which, by the way, is the best one. I don't care. Okay, let it, fucking Sgt. Pepper is just like, cool LSD, fucking trippy, hallucinogenic shit. Whoa, dude, this is crazy. Dude, these songs are crazy, man. Whoa. Okay, Abbey Road is way cooler than that album. Abbey Road is way better than that album. Okay? But again, I'll get to Abbey Road later. Abbey Road's gonna show up on someone's list. I can confirm Abbey Road is on someone's list. So yeah, I was about to say Jimmy, because the next artist. Matthew, dude, not a good pick for number 5. Not a good pick at all. Number 4, Axis, Bold as Love by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. This is a great pick. This is a good album. I know it is. Yeah, I haven't listened to it. I haven't listened to it. I know it's great. Because I listened to Hendrix. I listened to Are You Experienced, that album, and that one was great. Are You Experienced was great. I did not get to Axis, Bold as Love, and I was honestly going to skip over it, but this has made me think that, you know, perhaps I won't. Perhaps I'll listen to Axis, Bold as Love. By skip over it, I mean just listen to it, but way later, because I wanted to listen to Electric Ladyland, Jimi Hendrix's last album. Well, his, like, last album with The Experience, his, like, you know, Mitch Mitchell and the other guy. I think it was Noel Redding. Hold on, let me see. I feel bad. Just because I don't know his name, because he's the bassist, and I feel bad. No one ever knows the bassist name. That's kind of messed up. Jimi Hendrix Experience. Is it Noel Redding? It is Noel Redding. I'm awesome. I'm great. I knew his name. Let's go. The reason, well, Noel Redding's different, because the reason I knew his name is because he's so fucking talented. Every single member, as if it's an army, all three members of the Jimi Hendrix Experience are some of the greatest instrumentalists ever. And it's, like, not super close. Like, they're really far above everybody else, dude. It's it's kind of insane. The amount of talent in this group is kind of insane. Like, top five greatest drummer of all time, Mitch Mitchell. Perhaps he's top 10, but you could argue top five. He's definitely top 10, though. Top five greatest bassist of all time, Noel Redding. And number one, undisputed, inarguably, greatest guitarist of all time, Jimi Hendrix. It's not close either. It's not close. Even Clapton. Number two is Clapton. Clapton will say, like, my God, that guy was good. Jimi Hendrix played like a force of nature. Like, he wasn't from this planet. Jimi Hendrix played like he just, like, appeared. Like, he didn't have a childhood. He didn't have parents. He didn't have anything. He just, the fully grown artist Jimi Hendrix just appeared with a guitar, just bound to him, just as part of him. It's wild how good he was. His passing was also tragic. I think he passed away in September 1970. That was also tragic because he was so brilliant. He was so brilliant. And he liked Bob Dylan. I like Bob Dylan, so that's nice. So great pick, Matthew. Great pick for Access Bold as Love. The songs on that album that I actually like, dude, Little Wing. Little Wing's awesome. And I remember liking Spanish Castle Magic. I'm pretty sure I like Spanish Castle Magic. But Little Wing is a banger. Little Wing is amazing. So great pick there. Number three, okay, I don't really want to talk about this album all that much because it's going to show up again. This album, I bet if I ask, like, other kids at this school who listen to music, who listen to all types of music, not just, like, you know, one of those rap-only pieces of shit, yeah, I said it, or one of those country-only pieces of shit, yeah, I said it. If I ask other kids who listen to all music, this album will appear so many fucking times. I don't know if it'll ever be number one. But it will be between 3 and 5 every single time, maybe even 2. And it's Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. You know, the album with the triangle and the rainbow. It's a black backdrop. Everyone knows what this album looks like. Everyone knows Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. And Pink Floyd is amazing. I do know that. I have listened to some Pink Floyd, namely my favorite Pink song, Pink Song. Yeah, because I'm talking about Pink. That's the fucking artist. Jesus, this show sucks. But I listened to some Pink Floyd. And I am a fan of Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. Another Brick in the Wall Part. I'm going to add that to Songs of the Shed. I'm also going to add Little Wing. Because this is cool. This little segment is a great way to get some content into the show. This is a cool thing I'm doing right here, guys. We got Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix Experience. That's now a song of the shed. I'll plug that. I'll put like a link to the playlist in the description for Apple Music and Spotify. And what was the other thing I was going to add? Oh, yeah, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. Sorry, I would add a song from Dark Side of the Moon, but I'm not familiar with Dark Side of the Moon at all. So, and also, I know Matthew, if you're listening, I know you hate Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. I'm sorry, but it's the only Pink Floyd song I really know. And I really like it. So, again, I know I get good pick, though. Dark Side of the Moon, good pick. Number two, Ride the Lightning by Metallica. Now, this is surprising. Ride the Lightning over Black Album? What the hell, dude? Dude, what? What? I know Matthew here is a big fan of Fade to Black and For Whom the Bell Tolls. He likes both those songs. So that might be... Oh, so that's why he picked it. Yeah, here's the problem, Matthew. Here's the problem with Matthew's choices, guys. Remember when I went on that speech about looking at it as a body of work? Matthew doesn't. When I was asking him what albums he likes, he was just like, this album has more songs I like on it than this one. Which, like... kind of valid. But if there's an album with, like, one song you like, and then 9 songs you think are awful... Wait, this is a really bad analogy. Hold on, I was just gonna use the wrong numbers. If there's an album with 2 songs you like, and then 8 songs that are really awful, and then 1 song you like, and then 9 songs that are pretty good, is the one with 2 songs you like actually better? You really like that album better? Like, really? Like, guys, you gotta understand. Again, body of work thinking here. So, Ride the Lightning is pretty surprising, especially because I am pretty familiar with Metallica. And the Black Album's great. The Black Album, in my opinion, is their best. And no, that's not like a... I'm not like a... If you're like an old head who's going to say like, oh, they sold out on the Black Album, shut up. Yeah, James Hetfield learned how to sing. That's not selling out. That's becoming better, moron. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. I know none of you know what the hell I'm talking about. But trust me, this is an issue. It's real. Also, the Black Album has 2 of my favorite songs, Enter Sandman and Sad But True. I would say Sad But True, but... It's so hard not to say Enter Sandman. I don't want to say Enter Sandman's one of my favorites because that's such an average, that's such an expected opinion. That's like saying your favorite Elton John song is Rocket Man. You know, it's like saying your favorite Led Zeppelin song is Stairway to Heaven. It's like, can you say anything more cool, please? Can you say anything cooler? But Enter Sandman is so good. So I will say Enter Sandman. So number two, Ride the Lightning. Pretty interesting. Now, I got to take a break from recording because I have class now, but I'll be back to review Matthew Singer's number one album. Fuck, I forgot how to stop recording again. I pressed the record button. I got to press the stop button. Okay, I'll be back.
And I'm back, and I got some beef jerky, too. It's lunchtime, you know. So, what was I was saying something. Oh, yeah, Matthew's number one album. I realized I can, like, cheat and look back to figure out what I was saying. I forgot to do that, but no, I just remembered. Matthew's number one album. Yeah, you guys like that sound of chewing? It was a good callback to episode 2. The Capicola stream. Beef jerky this time. Teriyaki, too. Also got a zero sugar root beer. I didn't know they sold root beer here. I'm very happy they do. It's probably going to be my new go-to drink, as fat and obese as that sounds. Root beer is awesome. So, Matthew's number one album, I think, is very, very valid. Matthew Singer's number one album is none other than Led Zeppelin 1, the first Led Zeppelin album. Sorry, I'm chewing. Give me some weird pauses. I'll stop, though. Yeah, Led Zeppelin's debut album. I think that album, despite, of course, being, like, critically, at least, sort of overshadowed. Not overshadowed, but sort of just outclassed, critically, by Led Zeppelin 2 and Led Zeppelin 4, which are, like, you know, again, legendary. I had to say the same thing when talking about Jake Braun's albums, when Jake Braun chose Physical Graffiti and Enter the Outdoor. Because Led Zeppelin 2 and 4 are just so, like, so good that they often come to be the defining albums of the band. But Led Zeppelin 1, the band's debut album, this might be the only Led Zeppelin album I listened to all the way through. And this album's awesome. This album's actually awesome. I feel bad that it's outclassed by Led Zeppelin 2 and 4. Because everyone just thinks of Led Zeppelin 2 and 4 and they think of the best Led Zeppelin albums. But no, this one is great. Good Times, Bad Times, you know, just the opening track is one of the best opening tracks ever. Like, actually, it's play. Because being you have to have a certain sound. I can't really describe it, but to be a good opening track, you have to have there's got to be something there that fits the bill for opening track. And Good Times, Bad Times is fucking incredible. Damn it, I said fucking again. Good Times, Bad Times is, I mean, it's just audaciously mind-blowing. And it's got Dazed and Confused. I mean, one classic movie title, two, a classic song. And I love, me personally, my favorite song is Your Time Is Gonna Come. I love Your Time Is Gonna Come. And specifically, the medley of Your Time Is Gonna Come into Black Mountainside. Because there's a little two-song medley on this album, being Your Time Is Gonna Come and Black Mountainside. Black Mountainside is just an instrumental, and usually I get really bored. I wouldn't say bored. I just don't really like instrumentals as much as, like, songs with lyrics, of course, like most people. But Black Mountainside's awesome, dude! Hell, this whole album is so great. This whole album really is so great, and I highly recommend it. That's a great choice for Matthew. Good shit, Matthew. That is an awesome fucking choice. Now, I don't want to bore you guys, even though I've been talking about this for like 25 minutes, I'd say 23, because I know, like, who the fuck listens? You may be thinking, who the fuck listens to Led Zeppelin? It's like, one, screw you, man. Two, I get it, so I don't want to bore you guys, but I do have one last set of albums to go over. By the way, if you send me your albums and yours weren't included in this episode, they definitely will be in the next episode, which is coming out this weekend, because I'm actually, like, I'm getting this shit done, man. Once I learned that the hockey team this episode is dedicated to, they're all fans and they all listen to it. It's like, okay, I gotta get on that. That's great. It's awesome. It's not because, like, I'm not saying it's an opportunity, like, oh, I have all these people I can, like, I don't know, exploit for views or something, like, oh, I almost said a really bad word. Sorry, guys. That's really stupid. That's the word. Stupid. Stupid. Not anything, not the other one. No, I'm not doing anything stupid like that. I just want to, like, you know, entertain these people. I love that. I love knowing that all these people love the show. So, this weekend, there's going to be a second episode that's also dedicated to the hockey team and Mr. Davis. And that episode will have your albums on it, because I do have these albums I actually have them in my camera roll, because I think seeing the covers is really cool. So I'd go on Apple Music and I'd search them up and I'd press on them. So they'd come on my, like, recently searched, and I would screenshot them in order. Okay, because they would show up in order on my recently searched from, like, it's kind of scuffed because number one would be at the bottom, you know, since I would search up number one first. But I screenshot that because, again, album covers are kind of a lost art. And I will definitely go over them in the next episode. But I might be going over another person's albums. Depends what happens. You'll see. Depends on what happens. But the next set of albums I want to go over is the favorite albums. They are the favorite albums of none other than the host of the shed, me. And number five, we have... It's hard. I'm looking at my list right now, and it's like, I don't even know if these are in order. I can't tell. Because I love all these albums so much. All five, these are like my grand five. These are just unmatched to me. Number five. I'm going to say Zuma by Neil Young and Crazy Horse. Zuma may have like two songs I like more than other albums on this list, but as an album overall, it's going to get number five. Which, again, that's not insulting at all. I listen to so many albums. It gets number five. This is awesome, because this album is amazing. It's like grunge, okay? Here's the thing. It's from 1976. What the hell? Nirvana debuted in 89, and were huge in 91 and like 92, right? So this was Neil. If there's any proof that Neil Young is the godfather of grunge, then it's this album right here. And this album has some of the greatest, like, proto-grunge. Not greatest proto-grunge, because that's a very small group. Greatest grunge. Yeah, I'll say it. Just grunge. Ever. Dude, Cortez the Killer, which was mentioned in my AP World class by my teacher, Miss McVeigh. Shout out to Miss McVeigh. Cortez the Killer is a banger. Cortez the Killer is crazy good. But my favorite song on the album, most people's number one from this album, is Cortez the Killer. Mine is Danger Bird. Guys, listen, if you're not TikTok brain rot, no patience, go listen to Danger Bird. That song's not fast, but that song's amazing. And its live debut in, I think, 95 at the Cow Palace. Oh my God, it's so good. I have a box set of that live performance because I heard that version of Danger Bird, and I was like, I gotta do something with this song, you know? I gotta own some sort of physical media because I like collect box sets. I've mentioned that before. Oh, I need this. I was just like, I need this. This is so good. So yeah, number five, Zuma by Neil Young and Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse is a backing band. Sorry, I haven't mentioned them. 10 out of 10 right there. Crazy Zuma by Neil Young and Crazy Horse is great. 10 out of 10? Ooh. You know what? For now, 10 out of 10. I'll think about it later. But I'm going to give a 10 out of 10 now just because it's in my top five. All my top five albums are 10 out of 10s today. Number four. I talked about this earlier, Abbey Road by the Beatles. I'm sorry, it's the best. Listen, I'll admit, my assessment of Sgt. Pepper that I gave earlier in this episode was harsh, okay? And I feel bad, because, yeah, that's reductive. You know, it was reductive. I think Sgt. Pepper deserves more than that. But Abbey Road is, like, and also, I haven't listened to all of Sgt. Pepper. I know the hits, and, yeah, they're good. But it's like, there are some songs from Abbey Road that aren't hits that are better than hits from Sgt. Pepper. Like, I'm going to be honest. Guys, Abbey Road is the best Beatles album. I don't think it's, like, God, you just trust me. It's like, Oh Darling and I Want You, those aren't his, but those are better than like With a Little Help from My Friends and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which it really is not a super great song. Might have been ruined. That song might just be ruined for me because I did it in choir in middle school, and that makes it lame. That makes it inherently really lame. But this album is unmatched. You know, I can't even explain how cool it is, how fucking cool this is. Also, some of you may not know this. The first half of the album is it like a normal album, okay? Where it's a cohesive, you know, body of work. And all, the first half is also filled with hits, okay? Come Together, Something, and Here Comes the Sun. And the classics, Oh Darling, I Want You, and Octopus's Garden. Then there's like, okay, listen, Maxwell Silverhammer is definitely the worst song on the first half. It's not even bad, though. It's just really silly. It's just Paul McCartney doing his, like, quote-unquote granny music that he was kind of like, that he wrote a lot. Where it was just music that sounded like a fucking nursery rhyme. Like Maxwell Silverhammer, When I'm 64, Mean Mr. Mustard. But Mean Mr. Mustard, I'll get to that later. Because is really cool, though. Because is a really cool song. So the first half of Abbey Road is just exceptional. Tracks run 1 through 8, absolutely exceptional. But then, if you thought the first half was cool, what happened to my voice? I started smoking. I started smoking off camera. Or off microphone. There we go. If you thought the first half was good, wait until you get to the fucking second half, because this is cool. Basically, the entire second half is actually a medley, except for the last song. The last song is cool, and I'll explain why later as well. A medley is like, I don't know. I'm gonna have a hard time defining it, so I'm gonna look up medley definition. Music. Yeah, okay, a piece of music that combines multiple songs or short pieces into one composition. So the second half of Abbey Road, yes, these songs are listed individually, but these songs are all part of one composition. These songs are all part of one, like, to put it in, like, layman's terms, which I'm pretty sure means simple terms, it's pretty much one big song. And it's amazing. Like, it's so cool. It's so cool. You have to listen to it for yourself. Starting with You Never Give Me Your Money, with ending with The End. It is so cool. And Golden Slumbers, you know, Once There Was a Way to Get Back Homeward. It's so, this is so cool. This, I'm putting my fist down on the desk. This is so cool. Now, and the last song's fun. Because it's like Paul McCartney's granny music, but it's self-aware. Because it sounds like the album ends, and you then kind of get jump-scared by some loud guitar, and then just a little acoustic Paul McCartney song that's like 30 seconds. This album is 10 out of 10. Abbey Road's amazing. I got to move on to the next one so I don't run out of time. Abbey Road is, I could talk about that album forever. Another album I could talk about forever that's amazing, Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs by Eric Clapton. Or, at the time, Derek and the Dominoes. Since I'm pretty sure he wanted to escape all this fame, because, you know, people in Britain were, like, spray-painting Clapton as God on the walls and shit. So I want to get away from that. Made Derek and the Dominoes with some session musicians that he played really well with. And when I say play really well with, that, Jesus, that's an understatement. I don't like jam bands, okay? I don't like jam bands. I think that's a bunch of, like, really just fucking hippie nonsense. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to sound like Eric Cartman, but like the Grateful Dead and like Fish. I am not listening to Grateful Dead or Fish, man. But I'm more open to it now. And the reason I'm more open to it is because Layla and Other Sort of Love Songs, they have some fucking jams on this album and live too. Which, again, not related to the album, but it is something good to mention. Like more jam, they're more jammy, like live. That are so good. So good, guys. You don't know, it's like blues, too. I'm not a blues guy. I don't listen to no B.B. King or anything like that. But Layla and Other Sort of Love Songs, it plays some blues standards. I know it plays Key of the Highway. I know it plays Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out. I know it has Have You Ever Loved a Woman? But they have some original material, okay? And the original material is some of the best music I've ever heard. I can't make this up. I mean, who has never heard this? That is like my the Layla riff is just the greatest. It is like that is my favorite guitar riff right there. Hey Jamie, can we get a replay on that? All right, Jamie, can we get one more replay on that, Jamie? Thanks, Jamie. Sorry, that's my assistant. Yeah, that is absolutely incredible. And oh my god, they covered. I know I'm talking about original material right now. But I got distracted because I just saw the phrase "Little Wing" because I mentioned "Little Wing" earlier. They covered "Little Wing" on this album, and their version might be better because they're so. Oh my dude, Clapton is so good here. And fun fact, I've actually met Clapton's niece. I'm pretty sure she thinks I'm super weird. I feel really bad about that. I feel like an idiot because I was to protect her identity. I'm not going to say her name, but she goes to this high school, or she went to this high school. She's graduated now. And I was listening to like "I Shot the Sheriff," Clapton's cover of that Bob Marley song. And I walked by her, and I'm like, "Yo, look at this!" I show her my phone. She's like, "Ah," and she keeps walking. And I think to myself after, like, "God, that was fucking stupid." Now she looks like a big fat weirdo. Fuck, she's like obsessed with her fucking uncle. But yeah, that's. Their version of Little Wing is goated. Thorn Tree in the Garden is really goofy, I will say. Thorn Tree in the Garden, it sounds... You hear the intro and you're like... Whoa, thanks, Jamie. I'm not going to do that too often because that could get copyrighted if I make it big. But guys... Why did I say that? I'm not talking about a good song. I would say guys. I was talking about something awesome. Thorn Tree in the Garden is not that awesome. Just because the vocals, Bobby Whitlock instead of Clapton. Bobby Whitlock's not as good as the Glazers of this album say he is. But the band's original material. The band's original material. Like, I Looked Away, per se. I Looked Away, for example. Bell Bottom Blues. Who can forget about Bell Bottom Blues? Keep On Growing. Any day is so good. And the reason I'm saying that so aggressively is because this album is like, not many people who even are fans of Clapton have listened to it. And that's because they just think it's the Layla album. It's just, it's the album with Layla. Jamie, can we get a replay on that riff? Yeah, they just think it's the Layla album. Well, no. This is Clapton's best album ever. I'm saying that right now. This is better than his work in Cream. I know his work in Cream is what's viewed as his best work on the guitar. And he's more kind of songwriting, vocally focused in his solo career. Nope, this fucking album has the vocal prowess and writing. And the vocal prowess and the songwriting skill of his solo career with the playing of his work in Cream. It is mind-blowing how good this album is, guys. I can't... This may be the first album on my top five to get over a 10 out of 10. Layla and other assorted... There's a box set that's like $390 on eBay. It's like an extended version of this album that I want so badly. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get two paychecks. First thing I'm going to do is order that because I need something to commemorate this album. It is so good. And live... This band live is also amazing. Oh, another original song by them, Why Does Love Got to Be So Sad? Awesome. A fun little country picking song, It's Too Late, also pretty awesome. Because I highly recommend listening to Layla and Other Sorted Love Songs by Derek and the Dominoes, a.k.a. Eric Clapton. Now, number two. This is where things get hard because my number one and my number two honestly are interchangeable because for me, they're tied at number one. So I might want to include another album because I just can't decide here. But I'll keep it to five albums and I'll say what these albums are. And I'll say what I kind of like, I'll say what my sort of instinctual top five is because I might be right, you know. My number two album ever. Is also, if I had to add another album, I might add Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy by Elton John. Here's a good thing. What was it called? Honorable Mention. That's what it's called. Honorable Mention, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy by Elton John. I say that because Elton John's albums are shit, okay? Elton John albums suck. Listen, that guy, don't get me wrong, that guy can make a good song. We all know this. It's Elton John. We've all heard Rocket Man, Tiny Dancer. Benny and the Jets. We actually haven't all heard Benny and the Jets. More people should listen to that. We all know Elton John can make a good song. And now Elton John's influence over the modern day... Oh, and I'm Still Standing. You know, everyone knows the gorilla with the piano from Sing. The Australian gorilla. But Elton John's albums are not good. Okay? Even his best one. Even what's viewed as... this might be viewed as a second best by like half of the people. And the other half thinks it's his best. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road with Candle in the Wind. Benny and the Jets. The title track, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Funeral for a Friend / Love Lies Bleeding. That medley. Then some like sort of just... album track classics like Ballad of Danny Bailey, Grace Seal, All the Girls Love Alice. The album sucks. I'm going to be honest. It's really not good. He's a very, very commercial pop artist. And I don't think he's, I know in the, it's like, I used to be in denial about that because I like it, because I was a big fan of Elton John. I still say I like him, you know. But I'll admit now he's a huge pop artist. He's not exactly rock. You know, he's not exactly breaking new ground. You know what I mean? But Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, this album is the pinnacle of his albums, okay? This was during his heyday from 70 to 75. This was his last, like... this was, like, his last critically acclaimed album, to be honest with you. And... just from when in 1970 and 1975 when he was live all the time, he was dropping hit after hit like Daniel, again Tiny Dancer and Rocket Man, Your Song, Take Me to the Pilot. I don't know if that was a hit, but that song's legendary. Emarina's awesome. Benny and the Jets, also already mentioned. Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy only really has one hit on it, and it's Someone Saved My Life Tonight, which wasn't even my favorite song from it. Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy feels like Elton finally put aside all this loud, flamboyant pop kind of stuff. He sat down with Bernie Taupin, you know, and just made... I don't know why I said, you know, like that. Let me say that again. Take two, Jamie. He sat down with Bernie Taupin and just made an album. And it's awesome. Like, the opening track is one of the best Elton John songs I've ever heard. Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy is awesome. And Tower of Babel is so fun. Bitterfingers is so fun. This album, just, guys, you gotta trust me. Listen, you're gonna see, like, you're gonna look at this album and be like, what the hell? Like, where's Rocket Man? Where's Tiny Dancer? What is this? Just listen to it. It's got the best. It is Elton John's best album, and it's not even close either. It's not even close. A pretty good runner-up is Songs from the West Coast from 2001. Yes, an Elton John album from 2001 is the second best, okay? I'm being dead serious when I say that. But Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, look, it may not be the flamboyant, colorful, I'm not going to say super gay, that'd be very offensive, but the sort of flamboyant, colorful, commercial Elton that you're used to, kind of catchy stuff, but it's awesome. Just trust me, it's so good. Now, two number ones now. Now that the honorable mention I've got through. Also, Captain Fantastic, Brown Dirt Cowboy. Yeah, this is a good podcast. Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. I don't know why I keep saying its government name like that. I could just say, like, Captain Fantastic. That's how most people refer to it. Oh, by the way, it's a conceptual album. And Captain Fantastic is Elton. And the Brown Dirt Cowboy is Bernie. That's a cool little thing right there. I think he made a sequel to it called, like, The Captain and the Kid in, like, 2007. Was it nearly as good? No, not even close. It's Elton John 2007. But it's, as I was saying, this album's animated cover on Apple Music might be the best animated cover I've ever seen. Because animated album covers, awesome. Because, again, album covers are kind of a lost art. And I think that animating them enhances it to a level that no one could expect. And it's so cool. Trust me. This is just this best album in every way, dude. Album cover, like, music. Even the I love the production. I love the sound of this album. This album is amazing. So my top five albums, guys, these are all amazing. You gotta check these out. Well, top six, I guess, now that I've put this on my honorable mention. Because it deserves to be mentioned here. Now, the two number ones. First number one I'm going to say, because this was kind of instinctually number two when I was thinking of my favorite albums of all time. OK Computer by Radiohead. Listen, you guys probably aren't very familiar with Radiohead. You might just be familiar with the with them as the writers of the you know the classic white guy anthem. But I'm a creep now, I'm a weirdo, what the hell am I doing here, I don't belong here. But their album, if you actually, you've heard Creep, everyone's heard Creep, but I bet if you're, I'm willing to bet there's some women listening who have not heard Creep, but everyone has heard this song, right? Thanks, Jamie. We don't need a replay. That was a little long. That was a little long, Jamie. I think I gotta work on that. But this album is amazing. Every track. I mean that. Every track is good. These next two albums are going to have that rare quality where every single song is good. Fitter, Happier doesn't count. That's like a transitional track. Every song on this album is amazing. It's in terms of breaking new ground, I was talking about how Elton doesn't really do that. OK Computer does. Huge. This was huge. This OK Computer is how Radiohead invented the sound of the modern band. Like Tame Impala. I don't know if there's a lot of Tame Impala fans, but that kind of sound. Like the way Kanye invented the sound of like modern rap. Bands like Tame Impala, that's Radiohead. And I'm very happy. I'm looking at OK Computer on Apple Music. I see they got one of the 100 best album sort of listings by Apple Music, which I think is one of the 100 greatest albums of all time. And that's because it is. You just, trust me, guys. OK Computer, its production, its instrumentals, the vocal. I didn't know Tom York was such an amazing singer until I heard OK Computer, especially this performance of Paranoid Android that was live at the where was that? The reason I'm not telling you guys where this was is because it's on streaming services, so you can access it. It was at the human rights concerts in 1998 from at Amnesty International. This album is just I'm struggling to put what's even good about it into words because it's very complex. This Radiohead isn't they don't do easy listening. That doesn't really take a genius to figure out. But my God, Airbag, Paranoid Android, Subterranean Homesick Alien. That's a fun little Bob Dylan tribute right there. You know, Subterranean Homesick Blues. I said you know as if you guys listen to Bob Dylan. We got some big Bob Dylan fans listening to the podcast. But as I was saying, Airbag, Paranoid Android, Subterranean Homesick Alien, Exit Music, Let Down, Karma Police. Oh, Karma Police is great. Fitter Happier, again, just a transition track. Electioneering, Climbing Up the Walls, No Surprises, Lucky, The Tourist. Yeah, that's all of them. Amazing, amazing work. That's all I can say. Radiohead is known for sort of complexity, complexity in the sound of simplicity. I don't know if I word that well. I wouldn't say complexity masked in simplicity because that makes it seem like they're trying to hide it. But I'll keep it simple too. I'll keep this complex album very simple and say that it's amazing and you should all go listen to it because it's just like, it should change how you, like, view music. This album is that good. But now my instinctual number one. My number one album. Holy shit. Jamie, what was that noise? I don't know what that was. Jamie, get a song ready. My number one album. We're talking about Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a Bob Dylan album. I know some of you are like, oh, he's such a bad singer. Yeah, shut up. If you listen to this album, you can't think that anymore. Trust me. Because his vocals here are incredible. His writing here is incredible. This album is incredible. This album is, its production is, the sound of it is beautiful. And it's 1975. There's not a whole lot of beautiful production in 1975. But the way this album is shrouded in reverb and echo, the way the songs are, it's, all of these instruments, all these, what, like three acoustic guitars at once and shit, and the bass and piano, and the way it's all tangled together. That was a good Tangled Up in Blue reference. Sounds amazing, which is, especially for a Bob Dylan album, he's not like a fucking production guy, he's not Radiohead, but the songs themselves as well, Finest Collection, this may be the finest collection of songs I've ever heard. This is another example. Again, just like OK Computer, all 10 songs here are amazing. That is wild. That is wild. Tangled Up in Blue, Simple Twist of Fate, You're a Big Girl Now, Idiot Wind, You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go, Meet Me in the Morning, Lily, Rosemary, and the Jack of Hearts, If You See Her, Say Hello, Shelter from the Storm, and Buckets of Rain. This album is, it's mind-blowing. And it's especially mind-blowing because it's Dylan's not in his, what's commonly viewed as his prime. When he was changing the sound of music as we know it, that was in the 60s. That was 65, 66 when he released his Electric Trilogy and went on tour in 66 to create the sort of image of the reclusive rock star, you know, as stupid as the word rock star is, especially to describe Bob Dylan. He just went in the studio. He was going through a bad divorce. Okay, his marriage was falling apart. It was his fault. Okay. You see, there's no videos. There are no videos or photos of these sessions. He's just like, he says he wants to record a set of personal songs. So he goes in and makes this fucking masterpiece. But at the time, after he made it, it wasn't a masterpiece. He had these sessions in New York, went home for Christmas, okay, and his brother, David Zimmerman. Bob Dylan's real last name is Zimmerman. He might have got legally changed. I don't know. Bob Dylan's just a stage name for a while. It might be his legal name now. David listened to it and was like, yo, Bob, listen, man, I know what you're trying to do, and I respect that, but this whole album, I mean, Jesus, Bob, these are all in, like, the same key. You have to give, I know you're all like, oh, it's, like, you're, like, not commercial. You're like, oh, it's, I'm going against the grain here. This is hard to listen to. You got to really think. But you got to make this, like, a little more easy listening somehow. So Bob, in his home state of Minnesota, just picked up some session guys, went into some very different studio, very different environment, and turned Tangled Up in Blue, You're a Big Girl Now, Idiot Wind, Lily, Rosemary, and the Jack of Hearts, and If You See Her, Say Hello. He took those songs, which I lost count of how many of those were. It's five. And they were originally lacking. They were originally lacking. Now they're bangers. Okay? These guys. This is another album I just can't put into words. And it's so real. This album connects to your soul, to your heart. This album is fucking real, dude. Everything he's saying here, whether it's, as Apple Music puts it, whether it, the writing, the source of his writing, his inspiration is the work of the Russian author Anton Chekhov and his literature, or if it's Dylan's crumbling marriage, which I think it is. Anton Chekhov is a bunch of bullshit. You know, it's classic Dylan, though. I highly recommend all of you listen to this album. This album makes you think. This album can just, it's hard not to form a connection with Blood on the Tracks. Blood on the Tracks is the best album I've ever heard, okay? And I'm sorry, but that's going to do it for this episode. I didn't want to make this all about music, especially music that you guys don't listen to, but I'm happy to make a new episode, and I got another one coming out next weekend. Not next weekend, this weekend. And guess what? The content I had for this episode that I didn't use or even look at, because I wanted to do this fun album section, aka episode, I can use all that now. So next episode's going to be filled with the brim with stuff. Guys, it's going to be great. Alright, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't, and I apologize. I really went off. This whole episode feels like a tangent. When it wasn't, though, it was supposed to be a fan-involved segment. It became a fan-involved episode, because I have so much to say. If your albums weren't listed, they will be in the next one, or in the next one, because I realized that I've only named, like, 3 lists, and that took an hour. But thank you so much for listening. Please rate 5 stars. I really appreciate it. And I love you guys. I'll see you.